Let's turn our Bibles tonight to Acts chapter 2. Someone was asking me what I was going to preach tonight, and I mentioned that the Lord led me to preach something that actually I preached a couple of months ago when I was asked to preach on a certain text for a church anniversary. And the Lord led me to this because it's so much about what a church should be doing. And really, that's the first question to ask ourselves tonight. What should a church be doing? Specifically, what should this church be doing? And what should every church be doing? Recently, I heard a well-known evangelical leader say that, quote, there is still a need to discover what is the mission of the church. That is an amazing statement to me because, really, the Bible says very clearly what is the mission of the church. And it describes what the church should be doing. If we believe God created the church, then we would expect that there would be evidence of God's design and intent for what the church should be doing from the very beginning. Acts chapter 2. And also, Acts is a good description for us of what a church should be as an example for us to follow. They fulfilled God's mission to them, and God blessed them in it. Now it is our turn to fulfill the mission that God has given to us, as described in the Bible, as exemplified for us in the book of Acts. So what did they do? And what they did, I would submit to you, suggest that that is what we should be doing. Maybe not in the specific cultural applications, but the general principles of what they did, that is what we should be doing. And that is what really the book of Acts is intended to be for us. It's to set for us an example that if we follow, we will fulfill the mission that God has designed for us, just like they did. So what did they do? In Acts chapter 2, you see the birth of the church. And after the church is born, we'll start reading in verse 40, and then we'll see what they did. Acts 2:40, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward or corrupt generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So in Acts chapter 2, we know that the Holy Spirit came and he filled these believers, and then a crowd gathered to find out what was going on. Then in verse 40, and before that even, Peter was exhorting the unsaved people, and in verse 40 he says, save yourselves from this untoward or stubbornly corrupt generation. Then again in verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And in Acts 2, the church is born. Then, what does this first verse church do? What they did is described in verse 42, and this is what every church, including this church, should be doing. In verse 42, they devoted themselves to learning doctrine, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And we will come back to that But verses 43 to 47, let's understand the rest of the context. Verses 43 to 47a describe the response and some historically unique activities. The response in verse 43 was that fear or awe came upon every soul. Then there were some historically unique activities. The apostles did signs and wonders that proved that their teaching was truly from God, God's truth. Now today, the New Testament shows us whether our teaching or whether a teaching is God's truth or not. Verses 44 and 45, the believers were together in unity, even to the point of voluntarily sharing their money with other believers in need. And I think the best idea behind this is that this enabled those who were new converts, who were visiting Jerusalem from outside, they were there for the feast, it enabled them to stay in Jerusalem and to be established in their faith and grow spiritually before they went back home. Discipleship. And Leroy Ames describes that in his book. Verses 46 to 47, they worshiped together daily in the temple and ate together in homes. Now, we can do that as far as eating together in homes. Worshiping together daily in the temple, that's going to be a little bit hard for us. I've never been to Israel. So Acts is a history of what they did. The specifics are not required, but the general principle is our example to follow. And notice the result of that example. Verse 47b, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. People were saved. And God intends this to be an example to us that if we do this, if we are this, to be faithful witnesses to our world, then God will bless that. So this is an encouragement to us. An encouragement to us to be a faithful witness to our world like they were, but also to do and to be the things that they did and to be the things that they were as described in verse 42. So I want to ask this question. Can the general principles of this example happen today? Can the general principles of this example happen today? Example, can God work today in great power? Obviously, we would say yes, at least in our heads and verbally. I hope we believe that in our hearts. Can we worship together in unity and sacrificially serve our fellow believers? Can we see souls saved? Can God use us as an instrument for the salvation of souls? And I hope that you believe yes, and you desire that for God to use you to reach the world with the gospel. And for that to happen, we must be and do what we see in their example is what a godly church should be and do, according to verse 42. And they continued steadfastly, or they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine, their teaching, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And the primary action of verse 42, and there are four activities there that we're going to look at, but what is the primary action of verse 42? They devoted themselves. The King James says, continued steadfastly, and that is one Greek word that means devoted. If you look at Acts 6:4, it also uses this word, and this helps us to understand what it means to be devoted. Acts chapter 6, verse 4. The apostle said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We will give ourselves continually to this. And isn't that really what we understand that devotion is? When you are devoted to something, you give yourself continually to that thing. I read a quotation by Kobe Bryant talking. He was giving advice to Zion Williamson. And if you know basketball, you know all those names. If you don't, that's okay. But Kobe Bryant was giving this advice to Zion Williamson, and I'll quote him. The important thing for him is to stay focused on the game. That is the most important thing. Focus on the game. Everything else is secondary. And that was his advice of how Zion Williamson could be a great NBA player. But notice that is devotion to a game. Everything else is secondary. That is your focus. That is the one thing in your view. And that is the heart attitude that we should have, not to a game. It's kind of sad that, you know, you devote your whole life and focus and mind and heart and energy to a game and everything else is secondary. But we have something, someone that we ought to, that so much deserves our full focus and devotion, to give ourselves continually to the Lord. So we must be devoted to God. If God is going to use us, if we are going to be the church that we ought to be, if each of us as believers are going to be the believers that we ought to be, the root of that, the foundation of that, is devotion to God. Right? The first and great commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. That is Christianity. It's devotion to God. Love for God with all of your being. And that is the basis, the foundation of how any believer, how any church can really fulfill his mission, can fulfill its mission and be what God wants it to be. Now, specifically, what Acts 2:42 mentions are four things that we should be devoted to as kind of applications of being devoted to God. We need to be devoted to apostolic teaching, to doctrine. In other words, simply, we must be devoted to the teachings of God's Word. When my wife mentioned this morning that we often counsel people, sometimes it's students, sometimes it's pastors' wives. There was one time that a pastor asked that we would counsel his wife because of various troubles she was having. And when we see somebody who is falling away from the Lord, who is straying, or somebody already in sin, I don't think there's ever been a time where we have not also realized that that person is not really having daily devotions, is not spending time daily in God's Word. So if you're going to be devoted to God and fulfill God's mission for your life, a major part of that is being devoted to God's Word. And they were devoted to God's Word on a daily basis, and we need to be as well. Secondly, to be devoted to fellowship, growing with God's people. And I'm glad you're here tonight. And of course, not everybody is able to come here on a Sunday night. I was talking to a man this morning who I would guess he's not here. I'm not sure. But he is the age of my mother, 82. And my mother is a Christian. She's a member of Market Manor Baptist Church. But on Sunday night, she really doesn't go out. And so not everybody can come to church on a Sunday evening. But I'm speaking to you who are here, but we need to realize that we need to be devoted to growing together with God's people in such a way that it is a major priority for us. And I know in the Philippines there are some church members who walk, and you've probably heard mission stories like this. It still happens. People walking 2 hours to go to church. That is devotion to fellowship, to being with God's people and growing together with them. That is a priority. Third, be devoted to breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper. And we did that this morning. To think about Christ's death. So what we've seen so far is God's Word. Be devoted to God's Word. Be devoted to growing with God's people. And this third one is be devoted to thinking of Christ's death, to remembering what he did on the cross for us. And in the Philippines, of course, I don't know if you're familiar that Catholic people, and the Philippines is primarily Catholic, the biggest holiday of the year is not Christmas. And it's not even Easter. It is Good Friday. It's the Passion Week. They call it Holy Week. And there is a lot of focus on the cross. And although they don't really know Jesus Christ personally as their Savior, we do admire the fact that, and it's the right thing to do to remember the cross. And that's why Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper. And we should be thinking about the cross more than we do, honestly. I should be thinking about the cross more than I do. I think of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, that the love of Christ constrained him. And he was really talking about not just an abstract idea, the love of Christ, but an event. Because three times in verses 14 to 15 of 2 Corinthians 5, he talks about the death of Christ. He mentions the death of this one. If one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. And that is something that we should meditate upon. The love of Christ constraineth us because we thus judge, we thus meditate upon. We consider the evidence, and we come to a conclusion, focusing on Christ's death. And the fourth is that we should be devoted to praying, to seeking God's face. You saw in the video that we made a trip to Korea, and Koreans are definitely known for praying. They have prayer mountains. Of course, not all of them are true believers. But those who are as well, they really devote themselves to prayer. They have prayer rooms. I was glad to see there's a prayer room here at Bethel. And they have places where we had our retreat. There were four rooms. They were all designated prayer rooms. And the floor is soft. And you kneel and you get before the Lord and you seek his face. And, you know, God uses that. It's amazing how there are some churches that I've been to where honestly in the Philippines that I have not been very impressed by the preaching. It's been kind of jumping off a verse and giving an essay on truth and not really expositing the text. But God uses that church and those people, and when I've tried to identify why is that, one of the things that I've noticed is that a lot of those churches really devote themselves to prayer. And despite all the other flaws and weaknesses, God honors a church that prays. I think of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and people were wanting to see what is the reason for the success of the ministry of the Metropolitan Tabernacle and Charles Haddon Spurgeon's ministry there. And Spurgeon helped them to identify it. He said, it's our prayer meeting. Wednesday night, hundreds of people at the prayer meeting and asking God and beseeching God for his blessing. And, you know, Filipino churches do things like that. They have Friday night prayer meetings, all-night prayer meetings, cottage prayer meetings. That should be something that we are devoted to, that we need to give ourselves continually to. If we want to be what God intends us to be, if you, Bethel Baptist Church, want to be the church that God designs, has intended Bethel to be, a major part of that needs to be devotion to prayer. So devotion to God overall. And in these four areas, devotion to teaching God's word, fellowship with God's people, remembering Christ's death, and praying, seeking God's face. Now, in applying this to our lives, I think if we were to be honest, I need to change, and I would guess that we all need to change. None of us probably are devoted to God like we ought to be. I'll admit that publicly for myself. Not devoted to God as much as I ought to be, as much devoted to God's word and remembering Christ's death and devoted to seeking God's face in prayer. So if we want to be like this church, like we ought to be, how can we change? Well, let's consider that. How can we change? Or what do we need to change? Do we need a change of what we do on Sunday? I can't answer that for you. I've been here this Sunday, but I don't know what is the main focus or emphasis. But the four things that should be emphasized, that the early church emphasized, was they gave themselves continually to God's word, to fellowship with God's people, to Christ's death, and to seeking God's face in prayer. This is one of the things that I try to emphasize to our Bible college. You know, our Bible college is rare in the Philippines. In one of the ways it's rare is that it has a music department. Now, we have music degrees. And most Bible colleges in the Philippines do not give music degrees. And, you know, I have learned a lot of things about musicians over the years. My sister is a musician, if you know her. She's head of the piano department at Foundation, I think that's the name of it, Foundation Baptist College in Elgin. She plays the piano for Northwest. To be a good musician, you have to be devoted to music. You know, 6 o'clock in the morning, when I was growing up, she would be getting in an hour of practice before we went to school, 6 o'clock in the morning. When we came back home, she would put in another 2 or 3 hours. Her desire was to practice I think 3 to 4 hours each day. So there's a lot of devotion involved to be a good musician. And that is good. That's what helps them to be excellent. But what I tell our students who are in the music department and our music faculty is that's a vehicle for the communication of truth, and ultimately the reason why you're doing this should be because you are devoted to God and His truth. And that needs to be the main thing on our hearts. That needs to be the motivation and objective for why we're doing what we're doing. What about Monday through Saturday? A change of what we do Monday through Saturday. Do we need that? Probably. When we look at this example, it is described as a daily example. They gave themselves on a daily basis to these things. Their daily focus was God. But ultimately, I'm not just encouraging you to have devotions more and pray more and remember Christ's death each day, although I am encouraging you to do those things because I think that's the example we see here of a devoted church and a devoted believer, that every day they were devoted to God. But it's not just activities. The root of this, obviously, is the heart. Heart devotion. We need a change. Maybe we need a change of our devotion. What we really desire. What we really want. What we are dedicated to. And I'm not just saying this for people out in the pew. I'm saying this for all of us. You know, we work with pastors, men who are becoming pastors and men who are already pastors. You know, we have probably 20, 30 students at our Bible college who are already pastoring a church. And they need to be devoted to God and dedicated to God. Because just because you're serving God, you're serving, doesn't mean that your devotion is to God. And I know that most of all from personal experience. You know, we can be devoted to those in the ministry. We can be devoted to maintaining our reputation, you know, looking good, being known as a good expositor, as a good leader. There are many ways Christian service can be tainted with wrong motivations. You know, just like I think Jesus was describing Matthew 6 of prayer and fasting and giving alms. All of even spiritual activities can be tainted with wrong motivation and a wrong heart. What do we want? What do we really want? Comfort? Success in the world's eyes or in our own eyes? Do we want to feel good about ourselves, the respect and admiration of people, or do we want God? We want God's face. We want God's word. We want to know God better through His love and the cross. So, what will you give yourself to? What will you be devoted to? Giving your energy and time and focus and heart desire to? What will you give your heart focus and energy and time to? There are a lot of distractions in America and a growing number of distractions in the Philippines. So all of us have to choose and to really focus ourselves upon our choice to be devoted to God. And what will happen? Last question. What will happen if you devote yourself to God? If you devote yourself to God, you will start talking more about God, and people will be saved, and the Lord will add to the church daily.